So hello, everybody, and welcome to our monthly Nutrition Lab call. This is where we get to come together and ask questions and get support on whatever's going on with you, you know, nutrition-wise, you know, your food, your supplements, and whatever pieces you're going through in the program. We know it's a hefty program. There's a lot of information there. Sometimes I even forget how much there is, but every time somebody asks a question, it's great because I can always say, oh, it's on the site. It's over here. You can watch a video about that. You can get a recipe guide about that. So I'm super excited to have you all here. We have Lisa and Annette here. And Lisa and Annette have been attending these calls the last couple of months. And, you know, periodically I'm not going to be here and they'll take over. So we're getting them to know you guys and letting you guys get to know them. I want to say that they both have amazing insights and information and experience and knowledge in all areas related to nutrition and health. So they're certified through my Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. They also both have multiple other certifications, like, you know, they just collect certifications as they're passionate about nutrition and health, and they just love to learn, and they're going to be here to support you. So today I'm going to kind of hold the back seat. I'm going to let them handle as many of the questions as they can. If there's anything I want to jump in on and add my two cents, because I can't keep my mouth shut, I will. So the way we do these calls is you raise your hand to get support. I prefer it if you go to where it says participants. There's a little hand raise thing at the bottom. There's also other little icons. So there's hearts and other things. So if you want to put any of the others up, we'll know that you want to get support. You can do this if you can't figure that out, and then we'll put you in the queue. But when a whole bunch of people do this, I don't know what order they came in, and I'm not going to remember after I finish working with one who is next. So I see that Wheaton put her hand up. I always like to hear your successes if you want to share at the beginning, before you say, hey, I'd love support with this, or I have a question about that. Here's one success I did. And then maybe it's a new recipe that you tried. Maybe it's, you know, you started a new supplement program. Maybe you had success with, you know, some symptoms that have been relieved as a result of some things you've been doing. Whatever it might be, we love to hear those first. So one of my old mentors used to say, big or small, share them all. So whatever it is, even if it's a tiny little thing, like you've been trying really hard to reduce your amount of coffee every day, and you got it down to half a cup instead of a whole cup. And like, that's big. Right? It may seem small to you, and we are always our worst critics. So it may seem small to you, but we want to acknowledge that and acknowledge that little subconscious little monkey brain that says, oh yeah, I did that right. Let me do some more right. So go ahead, Wheaton.
Okay. One positive thing. I'm back to doing my eye therapy daily. Which, you know, it doesn't take long. It's 15, 20 minutes, but after doing it for a year and a half, it gets really a little boring, even though it changes every week as well. But I'm back on a plan and it's working for me. So I'm proud of myself, I have to say.
Congratulations.
So my question is, I'm still working on, thank you. I'm still finding protein sources, and you had mentioned the amino acid. The kaon. And, you know, I don't really understand what amino acids, I guess, are and how they relate to protein. So I was hoping you could tell me so I can start this tomorrow.
Awesome.
Or someone could tell me.
One of you will. Who wants to go with that? Lisa? Annette?
Yeah. Should I go, Annette? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So proteins are made up of amino acids. And when you eat, proteins are broken down in your stomach, and they are broken down into amino acids, and then those are even made smaller, and then they go and make various different molecules in the body. And so we have essential amino acids. Those are the ones that we have to get from food, and then there's non-essential amino acids that our body can make. So you have to think of your body as a sort of chemical factory, and it makes things from what you eat. That's why it's so important to have really good, high quality food in your diet. So when you have amino acids as a supplement, for example, of course we prefer if you have a protein from food, but sometimes when our digestion is compromised and we're not digesting, absorbing optimally, we don't have enough stomach acid, for example, in the case of a protein digestion, then it's a good idea to have some form of supplementary protein supplement, like an amino acid. So your body gets it right away. So you have to, I don't know what the one you have, if you're supposed to take it with a meal or in between meals, because it can affect absorption. Does it say something on the container?
It was either 20 minutes before a fatty meal, or 1 to 2 hours afterwards, or with exercising.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the reason they say that is because it will compete with any other proteins that are in your meal, and then it won't be optimally absorbed. So it's good to follow the instructions on the container there.
One thing you can do with them is, like, if you get up in the morning, you can, do you eat right away when you get up in the morning, or is there a gap?
Oh, there's a small gap, 45 minutes, probably half an hour.
Perfect. Yeah, that would work really well to do it like then. And then you can be preparing your meal, and then you've got this extra protein boost as your body takes those and gets absorbed and can start utilizing them. I take them 20 minutes before I exercise because it just helps me to not break down my proteins. You know, if I'm on a low glycemic diet, I don't have a lot of sugar in my blood. And so if I'm going to go exercise, I don't want my body to start breaking down muscle. So I sometimes take that.
Okay. And is there a way to convert on my chronometer so I know how much protein this would equal?
It should say in there. I think it's a total of 4. It's not that much. It's like 4 grams per scoop, but it's pure. So there's this conversion factor. Like when we have protein, it has to be broken down. There's a certain percentage of that you actually get to utilize. So when you take it as the pure amino acids, you can say it's like equivalent of 4 grams of protein, but it might actually be equivalent of 8 grams of protein just because of the, and if you have a very compromised digestive tract, it could be much more than that. Lisa?
Okay.
Did you have something to say?
Exactly. I was just agreeing with what you were saying.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
What is the brand? Sorry, what is the brand on that one?
Keon Aminos Powder.
Okay. Yeah, it's really pure. And it actually, they have lime in it, so it tastes good. A lot of the Aminos powders, they're just so bad.
The sulfur amino acids. I mean, they... Right. Just stinky.
I have one that I bought like years ago that I was like, oh yeah, we'll just add this to the mole. It was bad. It's used a lot. Those proteins like that and as amino acids are used a lot in an elemental diet. Sometimes when we're working with somebody with really bad SIBO and really bad FODMAP sensitivity and all, and they're just eating like an elemental, like all the nutrients without the food to help the body to absorb it. And oftentimes we use amino acid powders in there.
Well, I'm excited for it. So
yay.
Thank you again for all your answers.
You're welcome. So who was next? Oh, I see her gone though. Who was next? Oh, we had Brent Rufus. You're in as Rufus. Do you know that, Wheaton? You're in as Rufus.
Tawny. I think Tawny had her hand up.
Okay, so I'm looking here.
Oh, you don't have your hand up. Okay, you're just waving your hand. Okay.
So if you look in the side, you'll see them in the order. So if you look under participants, it goes in the order they raised them. So it looks like it's Brenda, Janet, Irene, Kiki, and Catherine are the order that I see them in. Okay, so Brenda.
Hello, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
Great, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Starting with my small success, this morning I was happy when I got up and checked my blood sugar, it was 90. And that made me very happy because almost every morning when I first get up, it's between 100 and 110.
Ooh, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, so I have no idea why all of a sudden, but anyway, I've been working, blood sugar is my main issue because I'm sure I'm insulin resistant and that's what I've been working on. So,
well, then the why is because you've been working on it. So I want you to all know to give your body credit, right? Sometimes I don't know why, but may not know exactly like I ate this particular thing. But the reason is you've been working on blood sugar and your body takes a while to create balance. And so you've been working on it. So congratulations on that.
Yes. Thank you. So one of the things I wanted to hear from you is if you can give me hope that I might be able to, reverse at least partially the insulin resistance, because I feel like it's really difficult. And the diet is so restricted. I'm just, it depresses me to think I might have to eat this way the rest of my life. And so I wondered if you'd have much experience with how long it might take with people that are, you know, very insulin resistant or.
Okay, so here's the thing. Personally, I don't think the diet's at all restrictive. I've been eating that way for about the last 12 years. I mean, metabolic reset diet, pretty close to it. I, you know, so it's really, you get used to it and there's so much variety. There's a 250 page recipe guide just for sweet spot, right?
Yeah, I do have that. Yeah.
It's really a matter of experimenting and finding what you love. So I think part of it comes from mindset of letting go of the feeling of being restricted and saying, I get to eat this way because it gets to improve the health of my body and allow me to live to my full potential, right? So food is just one pleasure in life, and hopefully it's not your only pleasure in life, right? And,
right.
But it allows you, the right food allows you to have all these other pleasures in life, like being able to go hiking if that's your thing, or playing with your grandchildren if that's your thing, or whatever it might be, right? It allows you. And so I don't think of the diet as restrictive at all. I can't imagine eating anything that's not on that diet personally. Right? There's nothing on that diet that's not on that diet. There's even chocolate in that diet, right? As long as you sweeten it with Lohan and use coconut with it, you know, whatever works for your body. So there's a lot of desserts in there. There's a lot of cookies and crackers. And so there's a lot of that, what we consider the fun foods. It just takes a little bit of time. Now, as far as how long it might take, you know, if I think that it depends on your genetics, a lot of it depends on your genetics. If you have a huge number of genetic factors leading you towards blood sugar imbalance, it's a lifelong thing. And when I first teach sweet spot, I always talk about how for about 25% of the population, you got to be like uber super careful, or you're going to have blood sugar imbalances. For another 25% of the population, some people might call them the lucky part, but I'll tell you why I don't think they're the lucky. They can eat whatever they want and they don't have blood sugar imbalances. The reason I think they're unlucky is they're eating all kinds of garbage and it'll catch up to them somehow, some way, right? And they're contributing to the population and the environment and all the other things. So, but then there's the 50% in between that just, you know, they have that, okay, if you eat right, you're going to have good results. If you don't, you're not, but you don't have to be super restrictive. Like somebody like me, I think I looked at 50 different genes related to blood sugar imbalance and I have like 40 of them. So,
oh, wow.
Right. That's really severe. And I find that I keep my blood sugar in a really tight range. If my blood sugar goes over 107, which it rarely does, then I'm like, oh, what did I just do? Oh, I was stressed, or I didn't sleep well last night, or I ate some too much. Oftentimes that's it. So that's how tight I can keep it, you know?
Wow.
And if it's not, then I look at that. And if you can do that, but I have to do it with a restrictive diet. But it's a restrictive diet that I enjoy, that I love, you know, that tastes delicious. And you've seen me post pictures. I don't look like I'm deprived, do I? I mean, I post pictures of pizzas and pasta dishes. And I had curry last night with konjac noodles and a whole bunch of vegetables. And it was very satisfying. So some of it comes from the mindset of how long will I have to do this? Because that creates a stress in your body, right? That creates a cortisol response. Oh, this is stressful. How long do I have to do this? So I would say you're going to do it for as long as you need to do it to be the healthiest and the happiest you can be.
Yeah.
And Annette might have some other, especially Annette, because she has a lot of experience in this area of blood sugar, having a type 1 diabetic daughter.
Right. And I am making improvement in my mindset, but it's hard being around other foods all the time because I'm having to cook for family that eats differently. And, you know, being with other people is the hardest part, I think. And seeing
so from my perspective is, if you have a family that you love, which I'm sure you do, you're going to want to cook the best and the healthiest meals for them. So I know people who eat the best and the healthiest for themselves, and then they feed their kids McDonald's, or they, you know, they make macaroni and cheese for their kids. And so it's, maybe they don't have to be as restrictive as you. Maybe you can have, you know, big fruit salads for them, whereas you can't for you. But I think that thinking of it in terms of the whole family eating in this way. Yeah, my family eats differently than I do. They don't eat as restrictively, but they all eat really healthy whole foods and mostly plants.
Well, my husband and son look at the food I eat and they would never even taste it. They think it's weird. Yeah. So there's that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, anyway. You know, sometimes, and I don't know how it is in your family, like I've had people who say, I'm going to make food for the family. And if you want something in addition to that, or instead of that, then it's up to you to make it for yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, working on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's going to be a long process, but I was reading yesterday your little ebook on which book was it? It was Blitzing the Belly Fat, I think, or one of those.
Oh, anyway, yeah, the Blitz Your Belly Fat. It's like a holiday type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you had like 7 points or 7 strategies for working on insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. And I am working on all of those, except I had a question about, I don't know about the supplements that you recommended. You said chromium, magnesium, glutamine, zinc, and B vitamins, and DHA.
Yeah, I don't know that I said glutamine in that list, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it was on there. Huh. So I just wondered how to know which of those, how much.
Well, are you in the nutrition lab or the empowered lab?
Nutrition.
Okay, yeah. So in the empowered lab, we have our sweet spot program. And in our sweet spot program, we have very, very specific guidelines for how do you determine your nutrient needs and how do you pick and choose. The top ones for balance are chromium, magnesium, and DHA. Those are the three top ones that I recommend. So those are the ones that I would say those are good ones to start with. And I highly encourage you, we'll be doing a sweet spot launch in April or May, I can't remember which, where we'll open that program up and you'll get the opportunity to take that program. It's not included in the nutrition lab. It's only included in the empowered lab.
Right, right.
But you can do it separately then.
Okay, I know there's lots of different kinds of magnesium. Is there a particular kind for blood sugar balance that you recommend?
Lisa, you want to handle that one or Annette, would you want to handle that one? I think that it doesn't matter. There's other reasons for choosing. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is going to sound terrible. We use whatever magnesium's in the house. I mean, I'm going to pick a quality brand, but I haven't found any specific magnesium that makes a difference one way or the other with Samantha.
Yeah. So I think it matters what other things might be going on. So if somebody has a lot of sleep problems and anxiety problems, I might recommend magnesium taurinate or threonate. If it's just pure blood sugar and you don't have any gut issues, either citrate or glycinate. But if you have a tendency towards irritable bowel or loose stool, you probably want to stay away from the citrate and move towards the glycinate. So Lisa, any...
I agree. You just got to be careful because, especially with the citrate, it's a it draws water into the colon, and that's what causes some gas or diarrhea and things like that. And actually, why it's used as a sort of a laxative, has a laxative type effect. But don't forget that magnesium is nature's relaxant, so it helps calm our nervous system down, and it's involved in 200 or 300 enzymatic systems or reactions, and it's essential for insulin sensitivity. It's very important.
Yeah, it's totally essential. And I was going to say, you know, based on when we do, I mean, I give you lots of credit for trying to do this blood sugar balancing on your own without the help of the program. Those of you who have been through Sweet Spot know how in depth and detailed it is and how we take you step by step, week by week. Okay, now add this, now add that. And so there's just a lot of other factors. You know, there's the sleep factor and the stress factor and the burst training and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yes. Okay, great. Just one more really quick question. I was reading the Making It Rich dessert book. Mm. And most of those recipes have, you know, the dried fruit and the dates and all that. So I think I heard you say you can substitute sweetened chia gel.
Absolutely. And you know where you can look for that? If you look in the ice cream book, you'll see the ice cream book, the keto, whatever, plant-based ice cream. And in there, I have a page of substitutes for dates and raisins and those sorts of things.
Is it pretty much a one-to-one ratio as far as amounts, like on the dried fruit when compared to chia gel? No, not really.
Not really. You know, I usually, because chia can get, if too much chia gets a little too much, right?
Yeah.
So I usually do about a quarter cup of the chia with the sweetener. And sometimes you can just leave out that. If the dates are there for consistency purposes to give the recipe, you know, the goo and the whole stick together, then you need something like a chia. But some, even a nut butter could work with that, right? You put in nut butter, something that has a stickiness to it. But if you're doing, and then you just sweeten that, you just put some lohan or stevia or something like that. Yeah. But if you're doing it, some of the recipes don't even need that. Some of them are just, the dates are there for the sweetener, not for the stickiness. And then you just substitute a low glycemic sweetener.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Enjoy.
Okay, thanks.
Who is next? Janet Bales.
Okay. Hi. My Hi. Win is, and it's going to be around my question. My win is my CT calcium score is zero. So that's great.
Yeah. It's a major win. Yay. Congratulations. Yeah.
The bad news is I was busy with work, and in my personality, this isn't typically me, but I didn't research the CT calcium score scan. So I came in at 7 a.m., didn't ask if the person doing it was brand new. It didn't occur to me to ask that because I don't go to the hospital to get anything done. So it didn't occur to me. So we go to get it done, and she lets me know that she's new and she did something wrong after she already pressed the button. So that's 1.7 MSV. Long story short, I won't go into the whole thing, but I was not quite happy when I left. When I left, I had three scans in a row, and but it was all said and done. I received 5.1 MSVs of radiation, not to mention I had had another two a couple weeks before. So I've had 7.1 MSV of radiation. I am taking exanthramin, transresveratrol, vitamin C, E, NAC, water, fruits, vegetables. What can I do in this situation? I did report it to the department, but it's still unfortunate that it happened. I do blame myself for not researching it, but for some reason, I thought when you went, the person that worked with you knew what they were doing. Obviously not. And I got upset and she told me, oh, it's no big deal. It's like laying out in the sun. Yeah, bad news. So at this point, it's been done. What now?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've got a really good nutrition protocol already. I mean, the things I can think of, and we'll see what Lisa or Annette has to say, but I think that, you know, adding some sea vegetables, because they tend to yank onto that. Chlorella is a good one, or even kelp, right? You just blunk and it yanks onto that and pulls it out. You want something that's going to draw that out. And then cilantro. Cilantro is really good for helping to reduce that. Vitamin C, of course. And anything else you guys can think of? There's probably some homeopathics as well.
Shannon, how do you feel about homeopathy?
Yes, I'll do it.
They have homeopathic x-ray.
Oh, okay. Where would I get that?
Look at 1-800, and it's like a phone number, 1-800 homeopathy, and also look at homeopathy overnight. Look at Washington Homeopathic usually carries it.
Okay.
If you can't find it on those three, you have my email. Email me and I'll go digging.
Okay.
Because I keep it in my house.
And I guess at this point, the best thing I can do is try to use the homeopathic, do everything I can, but I've got to let go with being upset, because being upset isn't going to fix the situation. It's a learning lesson. Don't ever go without doing your research.
Exactly.
And ask if it's new, if I could have someone else. Now, God bless me, because I had a necklace one I took off, but she didn't even give me a gown. Didn't check to see if I didn't have a bra without metal. God knows what could have happened to me. Luckily, I figured that piece out on my own. It was a nightmare. But so do the homeopathic, sea vegetable, chlorella, cilantro, vitamin C, and then let go of the mindset and just know I'm going to be okay.
You're going to be fine. You are going to be fine.
And Janet,
sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
You want a 30C potency.
30C. Okay.
Good. Thank you, Annette.
Anything else, guys?
Yes, you could think about milk thistle for your liver to help clear things, and also a binder like GI detox or charcoal night, just to help bind up any toxins.
Now, if you use that at night, it wouldn't take away all the good stuff I put in by day, as long as it's separated by how many hours?
Three.
Okay. Well, 1 to 2. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Two. 1 to 2. That's good. That's even better. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's other things like modified citrus pectin, zeolite. So there's all kinds of binders, whatever binder, you know, you may already have a binder. You don't have to go get a different one. They actually tend to pull things out. So that's good to know.
Okay. So just get on this protocol and then stay on this for, how long would you do it for?
My thought is what comes to me is a month.
Okay.
And you won't take the homeopathy that long.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck, Janet.
Thank
you. Let go of it. Just do some heart math and do some appreciation. Yeah. And appreciate that you had a zero. I mean, that's like amazing.
Yes, but I was thinking I can never do another one because I've had so much radiation. Forget it, but just let it go.
Well, it is a small dose of radiation compared to any other kinds of radiation. And the numbers don't mean a lot to me in terms of how much, but it's a very small dose of radiation to get
it just that. Happened to be I had it. Three times within the
So it became more of a moderate dose of radiation. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Irene is next.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi, Irene.
I don't know if you guys can see this. No, maybe not. Anyway, it's a graph.
At a slight angle, we can. So hold it now angle it towards you. Towards you this way. Because when you did that, I got to see part of it.
Oh, I can explain it. It's the graphical thing like is. Oh, like that. Oh.
Okay. So it's a graph of, is it a
freestyle Libre? I'm sorry about this phone call too. It's my son. And anyway, but
you need to get that and we'll go to the next person and come back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, let's do it that way. We'll just go to Kiki, I think is next, and then we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take it. If it's your son, you're gonna be like, what is he calling for? Go get it. Okay, so Kiki is next.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. I don't see you. Where are you?
You're in my pocket. I'm out. I'm walking.
Oh, good for you. Multitasking.
Tucked in. Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering to ask you because I recently heard on a summit. There's so many summits going on these days, but I hear things and like you're my guru. So I have to always run everything by you. Like, what does Dr. Rita Marie have to say? Like, I got to ask you. So I recently heard in reference, is there a possibility to overdose on supplements? Because I heard them talking about fatty liver due to taking so much supplementations. And especially now with COVID, like I have all these supplements lined up that the family's taking from vitamin D to a multivitamin. We're taking zinc, we're taking vitamin Z, magnesium, you know, elderberry, turmeric.
Elderberry you're supposed to be careful for with COVID because it can contribute to the cytokine storm.
Right. So I like to believe that we all had COVID way back. But in reference to taking so many supplements is.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa, why don't you handle that? Because you're really good at the supplement piece. I have some thoughts, but I'm going to let you.
So can you say your question again?
Can you take too many supplements?
I recently heard on a summit, that they were talking about that people are overtaking so many supplements today. And that's one of the reasons that so many people have fatty liver today. And that was the first time I heard fatty liver associated with so many supplements. And the first thing that went on in my mind was ding, ding, ding. I have like 20 bottles lined up in my kitchen. And especially now through COVID, I make sure that everybody in my family is taking every day, you know, multivitamin and D and zinc and magnesium and vitamin C. And then I have elderberry and turmeric and
I heard all the supplements. Yes, having too many supplements is a thing. I mean, your body has to process them, especially your liver. And so I don't know, I mean, if who said that regarding the fatty liver or causing fatty liver, but definitely the liver has to work very hard to process all the supplements. And we start with the diet, and then we do add in some supplements because obviously our earth or the ground our soil is deficient, or maybe we're not getting all of the supplements we need, or we have an extra need. Let's say we have an extra need for magnesium, and it's okay then to add things in for a therapeutic reason for a short period of time. When I create supplement plans for people, I always have a sort of a time frame in mind. It's not sort of like forever. And certainly not taking that many supplements for such a long period of time. We do have people on many supplements who are on a program because they have compromised health, but we're following them and testing and really watching, you know, how they're doing, with the aim of reducing the supplements as soon as we can. I don't know if that answers your question. You got to be careful. I mean, when you're taking so many supplements, even if they're quote good for you, or you think they're good for you, probably isolated supplements can be good for you. But you know, they work synergistically. They also work antagonistically. And so we really have to think about balance and why we're taking them, when we're taking them, what form we're taking.
And the fat soluble more so than the because they get stored in the liver, right? If you're taking a lot of D and E and A and K, right, those are going to get stored in the liver. And if you're not doing something to test either functionally or the actual amount, like, you can get in trouble because your liver gets problematic from that. So and then, you know, when you said multi, all the multi stuff is where you can get into a lot of trouble, because there's a lot of overlap. If you're taking multis and you're taking single nutrients, you could get very high. I created a spreadsheet that we use in our ERC program. It's called the Nutrient Tracker or something, where you can put all your supplement names at the top, and then there's down the side is all the nutrients, and then you just put underneath how much of each of those nutrients is in there, and the spreadsheet actually totals it up. But that's one way of, you know, figuring it out, is to create a spreadsheet and mark all your stuff down, and then calculate up how much of each thing you're taking. But be careful with the, you know, if you're taking D and you've been taking it for a long time and you haven't tested your D, I would caution you to do that. And if you're
D is not that high. It's K. It's D with K. It's a K to D, and it's I think it's 5,000 into
So you just don't know if you don't
1,000
test. But you don't know if you don't test if it's not.
So usually I know that on the annual blood work, like for me personally and my husband, like, no one's D is that high. It's always 40, you know.
Well, it's not high enough then.
Low, not too low, but 46 depends, you know.
Yeah. So that's the answer to the question. It's specifically related to fatty liver. I mean, certainly, is it one of the leading causes of fatty liver? I would disagree with that. I would say one of the leading causes of fatty liver is blood sugar imbalance and crappy fats in your diet, right? Just eating hydrogenateds and heateds and things like that, that are oxidized, that damage the liver, and too much toxicity, not eating organic and all that. But I don't know that taking too many supplements is a leading cause. Mm-hmm. And but certainly can be problematic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. It was nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear you too. Have a good run or walk.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Great. All right. Just mute yourself, please. Good. Catherine.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
So for the win of the week is I actually made an appointment to see my chiropractor physical therapist. So hopefully getting back on track there. I had two questions for you, hopefully short. One was, so Lisa figured out brilliantly that I've got sulfur as an issue. Mm-hmm. So she gave me tons of great information to read. Thank you, Lisa. I'm still going through all that. I was also looking at the Unstoppable Health's website to figure out, is there anything there on, you know, low sulfur diets, on, you know, recipes, on transsulfuration pathway, all that kind of stuff. But I couldn't find stuff, but maybe I'm just not looking right.
There was a combination class that I did on the Healing Kitchen. I know it was around the end of the year, and I think it might've been 2018, but they're sorted. So you should be able to see, like, by food principles. So that I said, okay, if you want it low oxalate, low sulfur, low this, low that, low the other thing. And I talked a little bit about that. As far as the transsulfuration pathways, you'll probably see that in the nutrigenomics section.
Okay.
And then as far as just a really nice chart of the nutrient of the foods and what is in the elimination diet preparation phase, towards the bottom of that page, I have these charts that will show you the foods and also symptoms associated with the various, what I call food religions.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah.
And my other quick question is, so I'm having a colonoscopy and endoscopy done on Monday, and the doctors are insistent on me stopping all supplements in advance, which right now I'm feeling it big time that I'm not taking magnesium. So I've been, you know, trying to look at, well, what foods can I kind of up the dosage of? So I've been eating avocados and pumpkin seeds, but I'm trying to figure out what else can I eat that's low sulfur that gives me a lot of magnesium.
Well, you know, for the sulfur foods, the biggest thing to reduce is animal meats or animal proteins. These are the highest sources of sulfur. And so in terms of the cruciferous vegetables, which are a high source of sulfur, or the greens, unless they're a problem for you, you can have some of them. You just don't need to overload on them. But usually people who are recommended to take go on a low sulfur diet, it's really to focus on just having fish, maybe some chicken, and then focusing on plant foods. So the plants are not necessarily so much of a problem, unless you feel they are, unless you have an issue or you feel you have an issue with cauliflower or broccoli or kale or something like that. And the good sources of magnesium are the greens and then seeds.
And the low sulfur, which are the low sulfur greens? I know that things like dark leafy lettuces and arugula I think arugula I'm not sure. I don't remember off the top of my head, but you can look at that chart.
Wouldn't the world's healthiest foods also have that if you under low sulfur?
It might. Yeah, the world's healthiest foods might.
Yeah. But you can have some, you know, you don't have to have, it's not a no sulfur, it's just low sulfur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I've been having some. It's trying to figure out if I want to increase my magnesium, how do I, you know, what do I pick to increase that also won't set me off?
Here's two ways to figure that out. One way is on the site in the balance your nutrients with foods kind of thing. There's a section on minerals. And in there, there's charts that have the various minerals and what the foods are. And if you take those and lay them out side by side with the list of high sulfur foods, you can just cross stuff off. I had Wheaton did this when she was trying to look at FODMAPs and oxalates and how do I do this? And so, she, you know, you just kind of cross off the things that have the second thing that you don't want. So you just take the magnesium list and you just cross off the stuff on that list that is high sulfur, or you put a little yellow highlighter on it so that you're careful with it. That's one way. The other way is to go into Chronometer. Everybody loves it when I say this, but I love that that software is so great because you can go in there and just put a bunch of stuff in there, or you can go in there and you can look up, you know, ask the wizard, I think it's something like that. And it will give you like, here's all the high magnesium foods, and you can actually eliminate certain groups. You could have it just look in. If you say, I want to know what all the nuts and seeds that are high in magnesium are. Okay, great. I want to know what all of the, you know, non-green vegetables are, or whatever, rainbow vegetables. So you can actually figure that out too. Or you can just put in a day's worth of your stuff and you can see, what am I currently eating that has good amount of magnesium in it? And then what can I add more of to get more magnesium without more sulfur?
Cool. Thank you. Thank you all.
You're welcome. Next. Oh, where'd she go?
Irene is back.
Is Irene back? Good.
I am here. Yes, I can speak now. Thank you very much for your.
You're welcome. Patient. I hope everything's okay with your son.
Yeah. There's a little trauma going on, but okay. I'll speak to, My very positive that I was going to show you a graph. Like, it's actually 3 years ago today that I started a real weight loss journey, and I have since released 36 and a half pounds.
Congratulations.
So that's a lot for me, you know. Yeah, so that's a really big positive thing, and I've learned how to fast and all and definitely removing sugar has been like the final stretch because I'm in my 60s, so it's a big effort to do this. So a lot of empathy to the people who are on the call who are, you know, still in their transition. I have a lot of other complex health issues, but not to worry. It's more associated with heavy metals that the complex health issues are. But I'm calling about sleep. And I now have a sleep regime that I like a lot. I have like, because sleep is also one of my issues. So I take 600 milligrams of GABA, 10 milligrams of melatonin about an hour before bed. And then right before bed, I take some 5-HTP, which seems to help actually too, but it gives me a headache. Like I sleep well, but the 5-HTP gives me a low grade headache.
And how do you know it's the 5-HTP? How have you
determined? That was the last thing I added.
Okay.
But because it's so helpful, I'm willing to live with the headache. I know it sounds sad. And I also have a tea most nights, you know, restful sleep. It contains all the right things, chamomile, all the right things.
Mm-hmm. And now you're getting a good night's sleep as a result.
I am getting up, but I do wake up quite early. That's another issue. But my long-term issue was falling asleep.
Okay, so now you're falling asleep.
Now I'm falling asleep and maybe I'm getting healthier. Maybe I just need less sleep. I'm a little tired, but you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with getting up. It's not in impossible times.
No, waking up at 4 a.m. Are you?
No, 6 a.m. Some only occasionally, but 6 a.m. Okay. to 7 a.m. That's pretty good.
It's actually a nice time to get up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. I'm very lucky to have this opportunity to even have flexibility in my waking hours.
That's great.
Just seeing what you might recommend.
So is the question about why you might be getting the headache from the 5-HTP?
Sure. Maybe why to get a headache, or is there something else that I could try?
And you said 10 milligrams of melatonin. I'm going to say one thing, and I think Lisa or Annette can pop in with that. But I have, if you have blood sugar issues, I've just recently learned about a specific SNP that if you have it, it may not be a good idea to take melatonin. So, and it's MTNR1B. The problem is it's not showing on most of our general reports that we do on our genetics. But that will make, like, people who have that SNP, when they take melatonin, it can cause them to become insulin resistant or even type 2 diabetic. So just to be careful. And if you haven't seen an increase in your blood sugar after taking it, the melatonin, then you're probably okay.
Yeah. Right? My blood sugar is managed. I'm at an A1C of 5.4. I do occasionally, you know, have a fasting insulin up to 120, but not very often, you know, but it did happen on Monday. So it was like, whoa, but I also broke my no sugar thing on Sunday night.
Well,
so,
okay.
I mean,
there you go.
You know, I'm a work in progress.
That'll do it. Lisa, do you have any thoughts or Annette on why 5-HTP might cause the headache? And if there's possibility of maybe switching to tryptophan instead?
Go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I wasn't sure that it's a 5-HTP because it's quite a cocktail you're taking. You know, the GABA to begin with and the high dose melatonin. Melatonin, I usually recommend between 1 and 3 milligrams. 10 milligrams is really high. And then the 5-HTP. And I would start with things like magnolia bark, passion flower, valerian, these kinds of herbs beforehand, because this may be really doing something to your neurotransmitters. All of those things will be stimulating your neurotransmitters. And I just wonder if if that could be.
That was the straw. That was, she added that, but that might have been what pushed it over the edge into headache.
Yeah,
maybe I was a combination. Sorry, go on. Yeah.
No, I agree.
Could you just repeat the magnolia bark?
Magnolia bark. You can get it in tincture form. I think that's probably my favorite form. Then there's passion flower. Hops is another one. Valerian root. Sometimes you can get these sleep formulas that will have a bunch of these herbs in them.
Tried valerian root. I've tried some of these, but is there a brand that you would recommend as well?
Hawaii Farm.
Hawaii Farm's good. Yep, Hawaii Farm. Gaia, I think I haven't seen it at Gaia, but I've seen the magnolia. And the beauty of magnolia is it also helps with lowering blood sugar.
Yeah.
You know, it works by bringing the cortisol down so you can actually get into sleep. You don't want to take magnolia during the day, but in the evening, unless you're high anxiety person. Yeah.
You might do an organic acid to look at what's going on with your neurotransmitters. I would just be interested to see there. But
organic
acid. When you say my neurotransmitters, is there some testing you would do?
Yeah,
that's it. The organic acid testing. That's a urine test. You can get the organic acid test from Great Plains Lab, or they have access to your lab page,
Dr. Yeah, they do. Yeah. At the top of every page on the site, you'll see lab testing. You can click there, and we've given you access to all the
I'm in Canada, so I don't know.
Great Plains might deliver. I've had Great Plains do Mexico. I don't know specifically if we've done Canada, but I've had them do all over the world.
Yeah, they'll send, Great Plains will send to Canada.
They'll send to Canada. Okay. I know Genova stopped, but did Great Plains will.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's great to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And did you have something you wanted to add, Annette?
No, I was agreeing with Lisa that I wasn't thinking it was the 5-HT, it was a combo of everything. Mm-hmm. And the A1C of 5.4, that's an average of 108. So you're spending half your time above that. So your blood sugar may not be as controlled as you think.
Oh, so. I'm not, I don't mean to give you that impression. I would love it to be lower down, but but it's interesting, when I started this process, I was only a 5.7 A1C. It wasn't, I've already lost this weight, and I've changed so much in my diet, and I'm still 5.4, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. So there's just, right. I would explore that possibility of not taking the melatonin, at least at that high dose, until you get that resolved, right? Until you get the blood sugar under control. The magnolia will lower it, right? So if the melatonin is raising it, the magnolia would be a good alternative. And I've had a lot of people who've got great results by having that magnolia at bedtime. And if you have trouble falling asleep, I recommend you do those at the herbs at dinner time, and then again at bedtime. Right. Okay. Because that helps the whole body system break down, you know, calm down in advance. Okay.
It's funny because I'm not that anxious, and I do meditate, and I have a little routine. It's not perfect, but I do 20 minutes. I mean, I've changed so much to try to manage.
Absolutely. You're doing a great job. And, you know, for anybody listening or feeling this way, getting set up and doing a consultation with Lisa, Annette, or one of our coaches to figure this out could be super helpful. And we usually start with a blood chemistry, like an advanced blood chemistry. You'd have to get your doctor to do a comprehensive blood chemistry. But I don't know how many of you are on our call on Saturday, where we offered, you know, the bundle of getting the blood chemistry and the report and getting a session with the coaches. But, you know, we'll write to help desk and just say you're interested, or the recording of that is available. Do either of you remember where that link is? Oh, I know, it's on my phone. The recording of that is available. And if you get on the waiting list, we'll let you know as soon as we open up more spots, because we oversold it. We sold like 96 people signed up for that. And we were like, we need to wait a little while before we can get more people in for that. But let me see which person I sent it to recently. There we go. If you go to here we go. I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna copy it into the chat here. I have to transfer it from my phone. There we go. All right, I will put this in the chat so you can actually watch that video. It's okay. Really, really good stuff. Actually, you know, I think I put this, no, I put it in Empowered. Okay. For those of you who are in Empowered Self-Care, on the section that's all about discover your imbalances, I added the replay of this to that because it was a really good presentation, if I must say so myself. It was very comprehensive, and I've gotten really good feedback. Like one of my health coach friends, she's a health coach in another country, and she was like, "Oh my God, how do you know so much? I learned so much from your presentation." I'm like, "Oh, thank you." So I just put the link in there if you want to watch it. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Good luck with it. All right. So next is Hedy.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to talk about my achievements. I'm so happy today that my 2-year-old granddaughter had fermented Brazilian nut cheese and steamed chard and kale for lunch. And I pulled out my dehydrator and we're making blueberry walnut pancakes and nuts and seeds and some fruit granola bars.
Nice. Awesome. Congratulations on feeding that kid right.
Yes. Thank you. So my question is, I'm doing very well on my diet. I wake up, I have my green smoothie and I put a scoop of protein powder and I have a salad and steamed vegetables for lunch and dinner. And then boom comes nighttime. I am starving and I've been eating handfuls, and I mean handfuls and handfuls of nuts and seeds. And I don't know what to do to supplement that hunger, if it's a lack of protein or what. And I have a second question. What can I take herbally when I have narrowing of the spine, and when that tightens, it's excruciating pain. I did buy wild lettuce and a tincture, but I have not taken it.
Okay, so I can handle the first one, because Lisa probably has some ideas because we were talking to somebody else who has similar, you know, similar stuff. You get hungry at night, and I have that same experience. If I eat like that and I have just steamed vegetables in a salad, if I don't put enough fat and I don't have enough protein with that salad, I'm starving. And so making a nice dressing that's got your nuts and seeds in it, making, you know, a really delicious like Caesar ranch dressing or something like that, that you can have, or a dip that you can have. And while you're eating your salad, some of that you can put on your big lettuce leaves, or you can dip your carrot sticks or whatever into. But it sounds to me like you need to have more fat and maybe protein as well. I add hemp seeds to all my salads, as well as making a nice dressing for that. So that's what it sounds like.
Okay, yes, you answered the question, because I do use hemp seeds, but I don't use dressing at all. So I'll start to incorporate that.
Yeah. And then the other about the excruciating pain, either of you want to take that one?
Hold on a second. Hedy, include the hemp seed in the salad dressing. It really makes the salad dressing rich.
Yeah.
So, like when you're making the salad dressing, it's not a salad dressing and hemp. Stick the salad dressing along with some olive oil or whatever. It gives a body and it makes it really creamy. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm thinking more of creamy salad dressings as opposed to oil dressing. So one of my favorites is Brazil nuts, hemp seeds, and chipotle. It's if you like that.
That sounds garlic. Good.
You just blend it up, and we have tons of those recipes on the site, like tons and tons and tons of salad dressing recipes.
Yeah, I'll try that. I don't use oils anymore. So other than MCT and maybe flax oil, that's it.
Yeah. But if you add if you make these really rich dressings, you'll want to eat more vegetables too. You're just going to like it so much. And it's going to give you that extra protein and that extra fat. So
okay. Yeah, I'll try that tonight.
Ronnie, that's great. Hemp seeds. I forgot about hemp seeds in a dressing is awesome. Especially like a Caesar type dressing, you know, those are really good. Ranch, that kind of stuff. And I'm not talking
how long about will I keep
ranch dressing, and you know that, right? You know, I'm not talking about buying a bottle of ranch dressing and adding hemp seeds to it. We're talking making your own version, and we have tons of those recipes.
How long will they keep, Dr. Rita Marie?
The dressings, that's a great question. I would say depends on what else is in there. Like if there's a lot of garlic, salt, lemon in there, lemon's great. I would say 5 days maybe. And here's what I do. If I start to feel like I made too much dressing or too much dip than I can eat in that time period, I take out my dehydrator tray and I put the Teflex sheet on and I pour it on there and I make little like crackery kind of things, cookie things, or I mix it with other stuff, add some vegetables to it and make like a cracker or a pizza crust or something like that. So you don't have to waste it because once it's dried, then it'll last for longer because it's not fresh.
Sounds great.
You guys have anything to add?
What was the spinal pain?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, repeat about the spinal pain. And here, I'm going to give everybody a clue. Ask one question at a time. Because if you ask a second, you ask the first question, where our wheels are turning on answering that question. And then when you ask the second question, we get all muddled up. I mean, at least me, maybe you guys are better at keeping it sorted. No. And so then it's like, I'm focused on answering that first question. And then I completely forgot. So tell us what the second question is.
I have several things wrong with my spine, but the most excruciating is I have narrowing of the spine. And when that tightens, I'm in so much pain. And the only thing that relieves it, I have prescriptions, but I don't take them. And then I end up on a steroid, which I don't want to take, but it's the only thing to alleviate the pain.
Yeah.
They gave me gabapentin to take, oxycodone, but I don't take any of it. So I heard about wild lettuce and I bought the wild lettuce in a tincture, but I haven't taken it yet. So I wanted an opinion on what I should take or...
Yeah, if you're looking for pure, like symptomatic pain relief is what it sounds like. If you have a narrowing, it sounds like, is it a stenosis? Is that what it is?
I'm sorry, what?
Spinal stenosis, is that what it is?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So I think wild lettuce, I haven't used that very much. I know Linda Buer Johnson, who's one of our coaches as well. She loves wild lettuce, mainly because she grows it. She can just go in her backyard and pick it and tincture it or do whatever to it. But other things that are anti-inflammatory and anti-spasmodic, but also pain relievers. So something like a wild white willow bark might be good mixed with something that's like even a valerian or something to calm the muscles down, turmeric as an anti-inflammatory. So a combination of those three components you want is anti-inflammatory, anti-spasmodic, and then of course, just general pain relief.
Okay, yeah, I have all those in the herb form. So I know white willow bark and valerian. I'll have to make a tincture because they do not taste good to me in a tea.
You know what? Add stevia to it. But yeah, tincture is fine. But you can always add some stevia or lohan or some vanilla extract or cinnamon or something along those lines to make those things taste better. But yeah, if it's a tincture, you're only taking a little bit, whereas a tea, you're drinking the whole cup.
Do you have, Dr. Rainery, do you have BHI on your doctor supplement store?
What's the name of it?
BHI. It's a compound. It's a branch of Heal Homeopathy, which they still
have. You'd have to look there. I don't know for sure. Okay. It would be either there or on Wellevate, either one of yours.
They've got a it's called Spasm. I recently fell on the ice when we had that storm. And so I have been having some back spasms. And if I take that spasm formula, the spasm stops.
Okay, and I could find that on Dr. Reed Marie's.
Can you put it in the chat so she can read it? And either on, if you go to the site, it says supplements at the top of, on the top of everything.
Yeah.
And we have access to either Doctor's Supplement Store or Wellevate through our links. And you can look at either one of those. You can do a Google search as well, if you can't find it on either one.
Yeah, I bought several things through your site, so I'm familiar with it. Okay. So I could just find it on there.
She put it in there. It's BHI spasma, which makes, makes a good point. Like addressing the spasm seems to be, you said it goes into spasm and then pain and then you get the inflammation. So addressing the spasm right up front is probably the best approach.
Yeah, I can feel the tightness, that spasm. I can feel it calm down, relax and release.
There's another one I just remembered as you talk about a formula, and that's on, it's on either one of those. I can't remember. I know it's for sure. It's on Wellevate. It might be on Dr. Supplement Store. Vital Nutrients has one called BCQ. and it's bromelain, boswellia, quercetin, and BC. What did I miss? Curcumin. So turmeric, right? So it's a nice combination. And I've actually had so many people, when I did a lot of hands-on work, which I haven't been doing lately, but I'd have people in a lot of pain and spasm, and people swore by that combination.
And Ned, could you type that in the chat also? Because I'm holding my grandson, and then this way I can write that down. I put him down. I appreciate that because I'll order both of them.
Dr. Reed, okay, she can. Good.
I typed it there. Yeah, I typed it in.
Thank you.
Yeah, and anybody else has their a favorite of their, you know, emergency medicine type things. And I keep a lot of this stuff around because you never know. I have kids, right? They're grown now, but they would come in and fall off the bike or whatever. And we just would help them with some of that, some of the homeopathics as well. Vital Nutrients is the company. Yes. Sorry. I thought I put that in there. Oh, Vital Nutrients. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Thank you. Thank you,
You're
Ronnie.
Welcome, Hetty. Thank you. Okay. We have Rose. Where's Rose?
There it is.
Hi, Rose.
Did it work?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. I was trying to unmute and it wasn't moving.
Good.
Okay. Well, the good thing for me is I had some blood testing done and my A1C is 4.3.
4.3 or
5.3?
4.3. Wow. That's really low.
Is it too low?
It might be a little on the too low side, right? But it depends on how you feel. I mean, that indicates some hypoglycemia, right?
It's a 77 average.
An average of 77. If you're doing a keto type approach, that's probably reasonable. That's probably where mine is most of the time because I end up with 77. So 77.
It depends.
If you're not feeling like these low blood sugar periods where you're going to feel like you're going to pass out, we have anxious and all that. And you just feel, that's good. That's really good actually.
Well, I have some other lows that I think have made me a little more tired, but it's because I had internal bleeding and I got some transfusions. And so I'm working on, getting my iron is still at 35 and my iron binding cap is 483, which they said is high. So I don't understand how you have low iron.
You would expect that. That's totally the way it should be. The lower the iron goes, the higher the binding capacity goes, because that's all the empty spaces on that iron binding, the protein that carries the iron around. If you have very low iron, there's a lot of capacity left to fill on that. So that's expected.
Okay. And then my IBC is 7%. And my ferritin is 10.
Okay. Yes, ferritin is super low. So yeah, it's an iron deficiency state. We don't have to go through all the numbers because we don't
have
to do that. But it's an iron deficiency state. And they just need to find, you said there was internal bleeding and they need to find that source.
Yep, they still haven't found the source.
Is it going in the right direction? Is it coming up a little bit after the transfusion? My concern would be if it's an urgent situation, if it continues to drop and they haven't found that source, right?
It is coming up. So I don't know if they're not finding it because maybe the spot was healed.
Maybe that's what I was just going to say. Maybe whatever it was healed, because if it's going in the right direction, then it could be healed. It could have been an ulceration in your stomach or esophagus, right? It could have been something like that. It could have been they've tested you for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. I'm assuming that it wasn't from that. So, you know, it could have been something further up, like esophageal, that bleeding in the esophagus from reflux is a common cause.
To do that manometer test to look at the esophagus, even though they did an EGD.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get the tube through my nose because the bridge of my nose was too small.
Okay.
And we tried both sides. And after the lady pulled those tubes out, my nose started bleeding and it was a lot of pressure and very painful.
So I really feel for what you've been through with this. And I know it's, but there's a good, I would just keep monitoring it. I wouldn't let more than 4 to 6 weeks go by without retesting that to make sure it's continuing to go in the right direction. Otherwise, if it still goes down, you got to do some more checking to see what's causing that. But if it's going in the right direction, it could have been a temporary thing. It could have been whatever is done is healing because you're doing such good work with your nutrition. So what's your question?
Go back to my glucose. My glucose, I say, was 86 and the insulin was 9.3. So are those things optimal?
So 86 is surprising given that your A1C is 4.3. So my concern would be that you're having very low dips or that because of all that you've been through that the A1C is not so accurate.
The morning of getting the test.
Yeah, you're stressed.
You know how much stress was going on driving to the lab, getting to the lab. So like I poke my finger in the morning as soon as I get up, then I go to the lab and then I compare those numbers. And my waking number is always way lower than that lab value.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good point. So yeah, it's just pay attention to your own. The insulin at 9 is concerning, but I don't know where it was before. You know, it might be used to be it was 22 and now it's 9 and you're moving in that right direction. But what that says is when I see an A1C that low and I see an insulin that high, I'm thinking that you're having some major reactive hypoglycemic dips, possibly, not necessarily, but possibly.
So should I retest that since would it have been affected by the blood transfusions?
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. All right. Because the A1C is really giving you, when you calculate the average, that's giving you like 3 to 4 months worth of red blood cells, because that's the life of the red blood cells. So if you were losing blood, right, you're losing some of these sugar-coated blood cells, right?
Okay.
So you'll have less a percentage. So I would definitely redo that in your insulin. Maybe give it a few weeks after. How long ago did that get tested?
March 4th.
March 4th. Yeah. So beginning of April, do it again.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I printed off your recipes from the Low Oxalate Healing Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a kidney stone and I had a stent placed because it stayed in the tube and they blasted it and the stent's been removed.
Okay. So what's your question then about the oxalates? Is there a question? I think it's a good idea if you've had a kidney stone to explore some of the lower oxalate stuff.
Okay. I'm really having a hard time trying to just liking my food now because I got so used to having green leafy salads, you know, twice a day.
You can still do it. It's not like you have to go off completely. Right? It's that you just lower it. So arugula makes a great green leafy salad, romaine lettuce, spring mix, all of the green leafy lettuces, bok choy, sprouts. So you still have a lot of options. Kale, but dinosaur kale versus the curly kale. Just really, I would reduce by a lot or eliminate at least for a while, spinach and chard, because those two are really high oxalate. And watch out, you know, choose your nuts carefully. Don't overdo almonds, you know, an almond or two here or there, but don't do a whole lot of almonds.
Okay. The other thing that I was doing is I was still having green juice every day. And that was curly kale.
Okay. So switch it. Just switch it, right? You can still have your green juice, but just switch what you're putting in it. Use more cucumbers and I can't remember if celery is high or not, but
celery is high and I have celery in there too.
Yeah, so just leave out the celery and put the cucumbers in, right? And put in other things that are lower oxalate. So it's easy.
Okay, enough. So
you saw me do the thing. I don't want you to go to totally low oxalate though, because you might have a worsening. You might have a dumping. And then especially since you have a history of a kidney stone, you don't want to run that risk.
So you can calculate your oxalates between 50 and 150. You don't need to be at 50. 50 would be really low oxalate. And I'm just wondering when you had your kidney problems, is that what's causing the internal bleeding if the stone was stuck in the ureter? I don't know. So I don't know if they look.
How long ago was that?
It was almost a year ago.
Oh, okay. Well, still.
So I don't I don't think that was it.
Okay. But what you could do is, so like Dr. Rita Marie said, it's not no oxalate, it's just lower oxalate. And then make sure you drink a lot. That's really important. And minimize how much vitamin C you're taking, because vitamin C has been implicated in oxalate formation and kidney stones, but I don't know about that, how true that is. But
it's one of those, we don't really know if it's true or not. Right. But what we do know is whenever you're eating these greens, take some calcium and magnesium citrate with it. You can get a powder and just put it in. If it's a juice, you just put it in there. And that's going to help bind whatever oxalates are in there and yank them out in your poop. So that's a good thing. And then if you make sure you take some extra magnesium and vitamin B6 separate from that to help to, you know, remove in the kidneys to help pull out the oxalates. Okay.
Okay. So when would I take the magnesium and calcium in the morning?
No. With each meal that has greens in it or that has higher oxalate foods. So you take it with the meal, but then you can take the B6 and the magnesium. I always recommend B6 and magnesium at bedtime because they help with the bed stuff, right? Magnesium is a calmer and B6 is involved in the production of melatonin. So if you take B6 magnesium at bedtime and you take calcium magnesium citrate with your meal, you can get powdered and you just put a little scoop of it into your smoothies or sauces or whatever, or sprinkle it on your salads. You can help to yank out the oxalates. That's going to help you with two directions, yanking it out through the colon and yanking it out in the kidneys. Okay.
Okay. And what would you replace celery with?
In juice, I would just go with something juicy. I would just go with something like cucumber, probably.
Okay.
All right.
I thank you for that, because I put about 2 inches of ginger root in that juice.
That's good.
Now that I stopped drinking it,
pain coming back.
My knees are hurting it.
Yeah.
And my hips hurt.
Stop your juice. You just have to do a low oxalate juice.
Okay. Right. Thank you. I'm glad to know that, because I don't want to go back and say, can I have something else now? Because I'm hurting all over.
Yeah. Go back and have your juice again. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So next we have Darcy, Lou, Sharon, Wheaton. I'm going to put you at the bottom, even though you put it up because you had your turn already. So I'm going to put you after I get through people one time. So Darcy, Lou, Sharon, Rich, and then Wheaton. Okay. So Darcy, where are you? There you are.
Hi guys. Hi. So I'll try to make mine pretty quick. I'm looking for some direction for my Dutch levels for my hormones. And my history is
okay. So I'm going to stop you there. So, yeah, this is better. This call is more the nutrition call.
Okay.
The other call is more for the empowered. That's where I would ask questions about the specific, like, you know, tests and organ systems and all.
Well, this is a little both, because okay. I was thinking about, these are the things I'm taking nutritionally for my E1, E2, and E3. And yeah. I just thought maybe there's something more I should look at, but do you want me to wait?
I would say, you know, first of all, testers, you know, the way we look at tests is like, we sit down with them. We look at page after page, we look to see the connections. And so I might not be able to give you a good analysis, a good understanding of what that means. You know, those are better, like in NEPT, we have people bring them to the case study calls. Because that way we have time to really dig in, because, you know, just looking at a numbers like E1, E2, E3, that doesn't give me the full picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't want to give you bad advice that's like not taking into the whole thing.
That is fine. Cause really I'm taking, I've upped my B vitamins, my SAMe and my NAC. And I was just thinking, I wonder if there's anything else nutritionally I should be looking at, because I have the SNPs on all of that E1.
Yeah. You know, cruciferous vegetables are super important. I always like broccoli sprouts as a really good source of keeping those estrogens in balance. you know, but otherwise I think, you know, sometimes B6. So there's a lot of things. I don't know if Lisa or Annette have any other ideas, but I think that it's just hard for me anyway. Maybe Lisa has it better, or Annette has it better committed to brain, but I like to look at the whole test.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. It's better to look at the whole test.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What motivates me is I have to go back into the doctor in a couple of months, and I'm trying to kind of figure out, you know, like nutritionally where I've been and what I need to do before I go see him, because I probably should run this again, but I want to have my good case built. Like, I have done these things. So it's all good. I'll save it for the NEPT call, and we'll just go over it there. So that's okay. Good.
Thank you. All right. Lou, you're next.
There we go. Trying to unmute this thing.
Yep.
And I don't know after what you just said, but I had gone over, you're on picture two. There we go. I had gone over stuff with Steph. Annette said I should go talk to Steph about digestive stuff. And she was looking over the oat test, and she said to check with you and Annette to see if I needed L-carnitine, because my methyl succinic was high.
Again, I look at, when I'm looking at an oat test, I got the whole thing mapped out. I got right. My Krebs cycle picture here. I got my neurotransmitter picture here. So off the top of my head,
it was 2.3.
Doesn't mean a thing to me without looking at it.
We have to look at the whole thing. And carnitine, usually we need it in fatty acid oxidation, so beta oxidation. So we'd have to look at the whole thing.
Yeah. And Annette, you know, you probably still have some privates left with Annette, and you could probably talk to her about that on your next call with her.
Okay, that's fine. That was my question.
And I can talk to Steph in between.
There you go. Okay. That'd be good. See what
Well, we were just having our ERC group meeting tonight, so I thought, oh well, I'd ask you the question, and if you had an answer, then I could tell her.
Is it tonight or is it next week?
Small groups are next week.
Next.
Oh, is it next week?
Next week. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Is this the third Thursday though?
It's a full week, and the calendar I worked off of, the week started on Sunday, so next week is the third full week, starting on a Sunday. Mm-hmm.
It's challenging when we have weeks that go a little wonky, but the list, the right? Yeah. Yeah. You'll get an email reminder.
And
you can always look at the calendar.
That's why I was surprised when Wheaton said she had to go get on the call. I'm like, it's not.
She was looking at an old call, because I sent Tasha to go check it out. Like, oh, did some, you know, and she said, no. She's probably.
Unless Lou, did your group get changed again this month?
That's what I said. Did you get, because it was
not that. No, not that I know of. No,
it was moved to evening, and Steph confirmed with Tasha.
Right. Yeah, I knew they moved to evening. Yeah.
That happened to me too today. I thought that the small group call was today, but I got a note through Biomechanic. It's next week.
It's next week. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we should have an email go out a week before, when it's the next week, when it's these wacko months that are, because you know how the months go, and you like some, you know, the first week of the month may only have 2 days in that month. And you're counting that month, right? Like say the Wednesday is the first, I don't remember when it was in March, but if like say Wednesday is the first, then we don't count that. We count the next week as the full week.
So February was weird, because if I really did the third full week, that threw our fourth week call into the first week of April.
So yeah. Sometimes you guys don't have any idea how challenging it is to do all these things, but sorry about the confusion.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And I'll reach out to Steph.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
So she suggested some other things also, Annette. So
okay. I'll ask
her. It's good for you guys, right? If you coordinated sending her over there, that she, you know what she recommended.
So. Yeah. So I'll reach out to Steph.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay. So that was okay. Sharon, you're next.
Hi. I heard somebody asking about the organic oat tests, and I just wanted to, you can get them here in Canada.
Yippee!
Great thing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing this weekend.
Good.
Also, just one other little comment. with having to do the low oxalate for a little while, it's opened a whole new world of greens to me.
Okay, share.
Well, I think I was just in a rut, you know, you just go into the grocery store and you buy your green curly kale and your spinach and, you know, things that you're used to eating. And so I've been using bok choy and incorporating more arugula and just,
awesome.
Just making changes. Oh, and dandelion greens. And mm.
Yeah. So wider variety. And here's the thing, like we may think, oh, green leafy vegetables. So all green leafy vegetables are the same. I'll just find the one I like. But no, it's like they all have different components and different nutrients that are in there and different, you know, phytochemicals, right? And so it's great that it opened up a whole new world. So the positive of a low oxalate diet is,
yeah,
awesome.
Change is good.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for sharing this.
I just have a very quick question here. I have read that maca is not good if you are hypothyroid. And I've also read that that's not true. So what is your take on it?
I have not read either, right? I think maca is, you know, like any herb, right? You kind of think about the herb and the person versus maca is good for this condition. You think about maca is good for a person who has this composition of symptoms and things going on. So, you know, I know maca helps to support adrenals. I mean, some people say maca should not be taken during pregnancy, and some people say it's awesome during pregnancy. Some people say it helps you get pregnant. You know what I mean? So it's really a matter of opinions get born out of lack of the full wide spectrum of information. And that's where we need to just focus in. So I don't know what to say about that. You know, I don't know if either of you have any opinions about maca one way or the other for thyroid.
I haven't heard one way or the other. Just that maca is an adaptogen, and it supports the HPA axis, the you know, the adrenals, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal.
And in supporting the adrenals, it could have an effect, and I would think an improving effect on thyroid, just because, you know, the conversion from T4 to T3 is related to adrenal function, and the receptors for thyroid are related to adrenal function. So I could see it having a positive effect on thyroid. If it has a positive effect on thyroid, maybe if you have hyperthyroidism, it's not good, like ashwagandha. You would never give ashwagandha to somebody with hyperthyroidism because it helps the body to make more of the thyroid hormones. So it could be something along those lines that was being extrapolated. Yeah. You don't have hyperthyroid.
Hypo.
No, hypo. So in any case, I would think it would be beneficial.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Rich, I love.
Howdy, howdy.
There you are. Hi.
With regards to that maca, I am hypothyroid and I find the maca is great. It's great for pumping up a little bit more energy when I need it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And if it makes you anxious, just cut back a little. Because when I've had enough, I get like the, I have to cut back.
Oh, there you go. So
okay.
That's the thing with any foods or herbs or nutrients, right? It's really, that's why we call these labs, right? Because this is the lab, this is the experiment ground. And what might be great for Tawny is not good for Rich and vice versa, right? So we just like experiment. And that's why I'm a big fan of the low and slow technique. Some people say, oh, I got this new supplement. It says to take two of them three times a day. I started taking it and I'm like, no, especially if you're a sensitive person. You start with one. Or sometimes I have people open up a capsule, if it comes as a capsule, and just take a pinch to just start and make sure, if you're a sensitive type person. And I know people who take like a minuscule amount of a B complex every day, shaken up in water, and it gives them all these great results. They're a cheap date, right? So you don't want to just go jump in. Size makes a difference. Sex makes a difference. Everything else makes a difference. Okay, so question.
Yes. I had some tests done with regards to whole blood nutrient profile when I had my gut zoomer done. It was a bonus on top of it. So there was one that really came up really strange because I was working on getting my vitamin D up. It was around 30, and with supplementation of about 10,000 IUs on a daily basis, I got it up to 91, and then I'm now backing down to 5. However, this test I got back from Vibrant Wellness, they said the vitamin D was 0.6 on a 1.5 to 5.2 range, which kind of shocked me. How could
I've
that
never
be?
I've heard that scale before. Is it a 1.25 hydroxy or is it a hydroxy, 25 hydroxy?
Calcitro, what is it measuring? Yeah.
It's because it might be measured. There's two forms. Usually we measure the 25, which is the inactive form basically. And the other one is the 125, which is the active.
Okay. This says vitamin D3 mcgs per milliliter.
Yeah. It sounds like it's a different scale.
Okay. But in the same case, I'm still low.
You're still low comparatively. Were they done at a similar time? Because you said you backed off. You had a 91, you backed off. So was this taken after you backed off?
No, I didn't. This was taken back in January, and I didn't get my results until middle of January. So I was probably, it was right around the same time I was
around the same time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they measure it because I've not done that test before.
Well, that just kind of surprised me.
Are you in Steph's group?
No.
Okay.
So do they offer a free call?
I think like, they do. I don't know if they offer it to the patient or they offer it to the practitioner. You know who knows those, who does those a lot is Isabel. Are you in Isabel's group?
No, I actually ordered it through Isabel.
You ordered it through Isabel? Yep. You know, I would ask Isabel if she has any thoughts on that.
Okay.
Yeah. I know she orders them and Steph sometimes orders those. I haven't ordered them yet. I usually, when I'm looking at the nutrients, I look at the NutriVal or SpectraCell kind of tests, but it's a relatively new test, like a couple of years old, but compared to other tests that have been around for decades. Yeah.
And if I was you, yes, I'd reach out to Isabel, but I'd also just call the company and be like, hey.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. They may be able to explain it to you like, oh, it's a different scale, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to go, we can't talk to you.
But, you know, nothing. They'll talk to me.
That's what we teach our kids all the time. They're like, I'm afraid to ask. They might say no. Well, if you don't ask, they said no. That's it, right? Yeah. Basically, you didn't get the information you needed because you didn't ask. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And the other thing I noticed, I came down, I was low in the minerals on iron. And that's not surprising because of my particular condition. My current is like 26. I'm supposed to be at 88 minimum. So what type of foods would be good for me on a plant-based diet?
Yeah. So you go, I was just talking to somebody yesterday and she's eating like mostly plants, but she had an iron that was high, right? And she's getting plenty from her food. So your green leafies are high in iron. You eat plenty of those. You may need some supplementation because of the other health conditions. So I would say something like yellow dock is an amazing herb. And I've seen people in 6 weeks have their iron jump way up. And it helps with stomach acid as well. So it helps you to absorb more from your foods. But I would go into the section that says nutrients, you know, foods and nutrients, and go into the mineral section and look at the table that we have in there on iron and see what you could do, or go in Chronometer and just use the wizard and say what foods are high in iron that are, and you eliminate all the categories you're unwilling to eat.
What's the easiest form of the yellow dock? An extract?
A tincture is probably the easiest one to take.
Okay.
Yeah. And you just take it with your meals. It is bitter, so it'll help you absorb things better too.
I like bitter.
Lisa, did you have something to add?
Dandelion is also a good herb for.
Yes. It'll be popping up out of the ground pretty soon.
There you go. Go out right in the yard and pull them.
A tincture. And
sure, dandelion can be helpful. Or just, you know, you just eat them out of the garden too.
Yeah.
Is it the root or the leaf as well?
I think the leaf is higher. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got plenty of those.
Thank you. Awesome. Look, it looks like one more hand went up is Ronnie. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Okay. Unmute yourself, Ronnie.
Wheaton came back though.
She did. I saw her hand went down, and Darcy had her hand up again, but
she might have forgotten to put her
hand. Yeah, well, up. You haven't gone yet, so you get to go.
Okay. So potassium. I bought it with potassium that was a tablet, dag nabbit. Crap. I was so mad at myself because I opened it up this morning. It's like, I was swearing. I wasn't saying dag nabbit. I was saying something.
I'm sure I know you well enough that that's not what you were saying. So go on. So you meant to buy a powder?
I wanted to buy a capsule because I can't find powder. I can't find Magnolia in any form here.
No.
So, but I put that tablet. It's from Now.
Oh, tablet versus capsule. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. It's a tablet from Now, which is a pretty good Canadian company. And it did start dissolving. Would that dissolve? If it dissolves in water.
Well, if it starts to dissolve, then it's probably not covered with shellac or talc, like a lot of them are, to hold them together. So if it's dissolving, I think you're fine. Because think about it. It goes down into your stomach and it's not just water down there. It's acid.
Yeah, right? I know. But then I was just wondering, is that a good test or...
It is kind of a good test to see if you have a tablet and you just drop it into some water or even some water with vinegar in it and it doesn't dissolve, you know, probably not a great one.
Okay. So water is a good test. Like it took a little while.
Yeah. If you wanted to really test it to see what is going to happen in your stomach, put some vinegar in it or some lemon juice and see if it dissolves. And if it doesn't, then it, you know, it might not dissolve in your stomach. I mean, given the fact that the stomach is at a pH of 2, and you know, the others are higher than that, like maybe 3 to 5.
Okay. The other question is, although I don't know what it is, I could be just that I'm totally agitated right now for a bunch of different reasons, but my food cravings are insane. And okay, so I'm not eating cake, I'm not doing that, but it's kind of like today I thought, okay, my sister needs help. I need to fly to Toronto and help her out because she injured herself and she's really stressed and because she can't manage. She broke her arm. And so I've had to rearrange the next couple of weeks. And it's like, I've given myself, not taking my blood sugar. Forget that. I've got some dark chocolate. I've got nuts. I'm going to eat it until I feel kind of at least like calm. But it's like, it makes me crazy that I can't get this stuff in hand.
So I would look at, are you eating enough and how's your balance? So if you haven't done Chronometer, put yourself in Chronometer.
I have worked with Chronometer before and I haven't done the paid one, but I don't know what the balance should be.
It should be just using their regular stuff, whatever their defaults are, is going to give you close enough. And the protein, right, it's going to give you based on your height and weight. So it'll give you a decent protein amount. It may be high, a little low, but
for that, the fat's always way too much.
Fats are too much.
So when we were doing the elimination diet, that was the one thing I could eliminate because I'd eliminated everything else. And the thing I noticed with that whole elimination thing is that the itchiness went away. So I started introducing more and more nuts. The different variety, it doesn't seem to me it's that it's specific nuts. It seems to be it's a culmination and a lot at the same time. That's the only conclusion I can come up with.
One of the symptoms of gallbladder imbalance is itchy skin. So it may be there may be an association that you're having too much fat and your gallbladder is not working properly and you're getting itchy skin as a result.
Okay. So that's a good thing to know because my brother had his gallbladder out. And so I've got the enzymes that I've been taking regularly and I've got the fat enzymes.
The ones with
the lipase.
Yeah.
So if I'm eating a lot of nuts, but that's a thing that I've been kind of like, now I feel like for the next couple, like as I'm trying to get ready and do whatever you have to do, that's the thing that it's like, other than that, I want to have a piece of bread. My roommate eats bread. She eats really good bread. She eats really good food. But today, I just wanted that bread. I was just like sniffing it. It's like freaking ridiculous. It's like, I don't know what to do with myself.
So I'm going to see if Lisa or Annette have any good ideas. Lisa, go for it.
I'm wondering if you have any yeast overgrowth, you know, because yeast love sugar. And sometimes it's not our cravings, but the yeast cravings that are driving us to.
But I haven't had sugar in so long, like Lisa, way before I started here. It's like, and.
But you could have an overgrowth, right? You can have an overgrowth that's been there and it just never got rid of it if you didn't. So, you know, if you haven't done a stool test, I know Canada's a pain in the, you know what, to get tests done. But, you know, if you haven't done a stool test to see, the other option is go into the grand program and go to the section. I do a very gentle, you know, yeast kind of elimination process with some specific nutrients and herbs to just, it's gentle. It's very gentle. It may not get it out if you have some weird, you know, species, but I would say try that.
Okay. So you guys are saying, sorry, Lisa, for cutting you off. You guys are saying that it's a yeast overgrowth.
It's possible.
I may not have gotten rid of it just by cleaning up.
Just by starving it, by taking out the sugar. Yeah. Sometimes you need to go in. So, you know, my approach to getting rid of bugs that are in the dysbiosis in the gut is starve them, you know, so you get rid of all the food sources that they like, and then you use probiotics to crowd them out. And if they don't take leave with the gentle approach, then you hit them over the head with a hammer.
Okay, so probiotics, it's a bit problematic because what I've done is kind of eliminated some of the high histamine things, which seems to, like, you know, the drippy nose that I've talked about, it's just so minor, but I think that it's indicative of maybe something else going on. And it's like, if that's a mild thing that I'm feeling, what's kind of led up to it? And so I kind of cut that out to see what, you know, I fermented beets. I fermented all sorts of things that, of course, I can't eat because it just, everything spikes my sugar naturally, it seems like. And it seems like that's gone down a bit. So I'm thinking that probiotics is maybe not a good idea. So,
well, not necessarily the fermented foods, because the fermented foods that you just mentioned are high histamine, right?
Exactly.
A yogurt, a coconut yogurt, a cashew yogurt, or whatever yogurt you could tolerate are not. And just taking a probiotic. Sometimes, you know, food is the best way, but sometimes you're at a place where there's other imbalances that you've got to go to the supplementation form of the probiotics before you can actually prepare your body to tolerate.
So go back to the probiotics. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that the coconut yogurt is a good thing?
Yeah, if you tolerate and coconut yogurt is saturated fat and MCT, which is much easier. You don't need, it has a fair amount. It depends on how much, like 20% of it is MCT, which doesn't require bile to get absorbed. It doesn't require the lipase. It just goes right in through the intestine into these things called chylomicrons. Am I saying that correctly, Lisa? Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, it's absorbed differently than
differently, than right? Fats. So coconut would be better than, say, you know, almond yogurt, right? Because almonds are very high, you know, it requires the lipase, the bile, the whole process, whereas the MCT doesn't.
Yeah, just
in the coconut. So coconut yogurt, I mean, it's easy enough to make.
In Toronto, I can find that. Here, I cannot. Yeah. And so far, I haven't tackled that yet as far as trying to make it. So
here's the deal with making coconut yogurt. You take coconut, you put it in the blender. You add water till it's a consistency of yogurt. You get it nice and blended. You add probiotics. You blend it real quick just to stir it in. And you let it sit for 24 hours. You can put it in a dehydrator. You can put it in by a warm radiator. You can put it in an oven that's off with just the open a little bit, but 24 hours. And then you have yogurt. It's like, it's the simplest thing to make. I made it the other day before I went to bed. I just went boom, 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 threw it in there and I was done.
And I know you've put those recipes up. I just kind of, it's one more thing that I just like, my heart's palpitating really hard just thinking about.
The thing about it is you're going to get satisfaction from eating it. Yeah. You can add a few cacao nibs to it. You can add some vanilla to it. You can add some stevia to it. It can satisfy this craving that you're having for something that's outside of your normal range.
You know, like the, I've got some yogurt kefir, which I'm not really sure is great for the sugars. Like it's got, it's really clean. Like there's no sugar in it, you know?
Okay, so it should be fine then.
It should be. So, but I'm eating it because it's like, oh, okay. It's just something like, or drinking it. It's something that feels like it's at least...
Cravings like are often
I feel better, but it's like...
I would take... I think you're thinking too much and you're trying to analyze a little bit too much. And so I think that if you're having cravings, it's likely because there's something your body needs, right? There's something your body's missing and it needs. If I go into a major chocolate craving, I'm like, oh yeah. And oh yeah, my legs are cramping again. I haven't been taking my magnesium in a couple of weeks, right? So my body is going, what food has that? We instinctively kind of know, right? So combination of looking at the yeast, you can crowd it out. You can look at something in the GRAND program, which is a simple supplementation program. And you know, and you gotta get in the kitchen and make stuff. You know, you can.
And I do because, I'm in the kitchen a lot, but it's kind of like, it can be overwhelming. Like how much time do I need to be in there?
We are over time here. So
we're getting time. We can go on to somebody else.
We're over time for the call. We're over time for the call.
Oh my God.
So you guys have ERC calls. You have your coach calls. Next week is your small group coaching calls. So bring these things up with your coach. Your coaches know how to handle these things. So don't just wait to handle it with me on these calls. Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're welcome. And good luck with going to your sister. Okay. Yay. Did you have like a super quick 30 second or less thing? Okay, Wheaton, go for it.
Do I need to fast for the Quest blood work that you need us to do?
That was requested. You will have glucose in it. Yeah. You have to be fasting.
Perfect. Okay. Bye.
Great. Thank you. All right, guys, have an amazing rest of the day and we will talk to you really soon. And Lisa and Annette, I'll just talk to you real quick on the other line, because I want to run over a few things. Okay.
Thank you, Lisa and Annette. Thank you, guys. You're all wonderful.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Marie.
ERC, make sure that you're bringing these things up with your coaches.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.